Sometimes symbols can be misunderstood unless we go deeper inside them and really look for their origins and their meanings. And over the last few weeks, we've done a deeper dive into some of the symbols of our faith. And I'd just like to talk about a few of them so we're all baselined together. First, we started talking about the Advent wreath with the candles that we oftentimes light around them. This actually started centuries ago in Scandinavia and North Germany, and it was done in homes. It was done to be able to add light into the growing darkness as we approach winter. And each night or each week, they would add another candle to what they were doing, proving that light overcomes darkness. And they also would stagger the time between when they would add the light to remind themselves that they had to wait. They had to wait through the season to be able to appreciate the time when the days became longer again. We kind of appropriated that symbol again in the mid-20th century into churches. And we use it now to remember that we're marking time as we await the birth of Jesus, and that we add light into our lives and into the world as we await the coming of the Christ child. We also talked about the manger. And you can see, you'll see all the symbols I'm going to talk about on the Lord's table here, but we also have a large manger scene over here. Mangers represent the humility with which God became flesh. We understand that oftentimes we think of God as separate from us, transcending us. But this reminds us that God's love was so great for us that God humbled God's self to be born in this lowly estate as a tiny, helpless baby. Jesus was placed in this manger, which we learned is actually a feeding trough for animals. It's a fitting place for Jesus to be laid, because, as John's Gospel in the 6th chapter says, Jesus is the bread of life upon which we feast. We also had stars. And we remembered that from Numbers in the Old Testament, chapter 24, it says, I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star shall come out of Jacob. A scepter will rise out of Israel. And we remembered that while we try to look for the astronomical significance of the star and try to chase different occurrences like comets or eclipses, throughout Scripture, we're reminded of the shining glory of God, the Shekinah of God. We see this when Moses in Exodus comes upon the burning bush that is shining and God speaking from it. It's interesting that Shekinah means the dwelling place of God, because when Moses goes up to Mount Sinai to receive the Ten Commandments, the Decalogue, as he comes down, he himself, from having spoken with God, is shining. His faith stays shining to where he had to wear a mask before the people. We hear that as they traveled through the desert, through the wilderness, God's people, after being freed from Egypt, are led through the wilderness by a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. The glory of God leading them. The glory of God before them. We also know in the New Testament times where God's glory, the shining of God, comes upon Jesus when he is transfigured on the mount. And he's speaking with the prophets, and we see him transformed by light. So it's not too big a stretch to see where the shining of God is leading others always into a deeper relationship with God's self. We talked about angels. We talked a lot about angels. And we found out that what that really means, angelos, is messenger, messenger of God. That's what angels truly are. They bring messages from the divine to humanity. And we see so many cases where angels are associated with the birth of Jesus. They visit both Mary and Joseph before Jesus' birth. They visit Joseph to warn Joseph after Jesus' birth of Herod's intent to slaughter all of the male children, two and under, in Bethlehem and the surrounding areas, so that they could flee into Africa to live safely until Herod dies. Last week we talked about sheep and shepherds. And we determined that this symbol helps us understand that we are really sheep in need of God to lead us. That we are constantly seeking our own pastures and in need of a shepherd to guide us into good pastures where good grass and good water exist. Today, we hear the story of the actual birth of Jesus. It comes to us from the second chapter of Luke, verses 1 through 20. And I'll be reading from the Message. About that time, meaning about the time that Joseph and Mary go to Bethlehem from Nazareth, Caesar Augustus ordered a census to be taken throughout the entire empire. This was the first census when Quirinius was governor of Syria. Everyone had to travel to his own ancestral hometown to be accounted for. So Joseph went from Galilee, Nazareth, up to Bethlehem in Judea, David's town, for the census. As a descendant of David, he had to go there, and he went with Mary, his fiancée, who was pregnant. And while they were there, the time came for Mary to give birth. She gave birth to her son, her firstborn. She wrapped him in a blanket and laid him in a manger, because there was no room at the hostel. There were sheep herders camping in the neighborhood, and they had set night watches over their sheep. Suddenly, God's angel stood among them, and God's glory blazed around them. They were terrified. And the angel said, "Don't be afraid. I'm here to announce a great and a joyful event that is meant for everybody worldwide. A Savior has just been born in David's town. A Savior who is Messiah and Master. And this is what you're to look for: a baby wrapped in a blanket and lying in a manger." At once the angel was joined by a huge angelic choir singing God's praises. "Glory to God in the heavenly heights. Peace to all men and women on earth who please him." As the angel choir withdrew into heaven, the sheep herders talked it over. "Let's go over to Bethlehem as fast as we can and see for ourselves what God has revealed to us." They left, running, and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. Seeing was believing. They told everyone they met what the angels had said about this child. All who heard the sheep herders were impressed Mary? Mary kept all these things to herself, holding them dear, deep within her heart. The shepherds returned and let loose, glorifying and praising God for everything that they had seen and heard, because it had turned out exactly the way that they had been told. I think as we hear that story, we see many of the symbols we just talked about, many of the symbols we've been looking at over the last weeks. They are symbols that comfort us. Symbols tend to help us to express our deeper feelings. Some of us wear crosses of one sort or another to be able to identify that we follow Jesus. Some put fish symbols on the back of their cars to show that they're part of the Christian community. Others of us wear perhaps robes at certain liturgical services, or maybe stoles to indicate our lifelong commitment to serving God. Symbols are the way that we understand and reflect our faith. We talked a bit on Sunday about how most of us have a favorite symbol that connects us with God through Jesus Christ in a special way. And we had fun talking about those symbols and what they really mean to us. And as I asked, what might your favorite symbol be? I also asked the question, why? And everyone had a good answer of why that symbol helped them connect so tightly to Jesus Christ as their Savior. We celebrate tonight that we are brought into the story, into the very narrative of God becoming flesh. And by that understanding that we are part of this story, we are part of God's boundless love for humanity and for you and for me. You see, we become not just observers, not just hearers, but participants in this amazing act, God's boundless love. The greatest symbol of God's love to humanity is Jesus. John 3:16, which many know, says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus, so that anyone who believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Jesus is the manifestation among us of God's pure and abiding love, and of God's heartfelt desire to reconcile the entire world, broken and hurting as it is, back to God's self. Symbols matter because they represent and stand for something else, especially something that represents the abstract. You are the greatest symbol of the faith that you have. I want you to think about that for just a minute. You are the greatest symbol of the faith that you have. How can that be a symbol? You show it by how you live. You show it by what you choose. You show it by how you treat others, how you love rather than hate. We have a hymn that says, "They will know you are Christians by your love." and others will know Jesus through you. As we follow Jesus, as we truly learn his teachings, as we follow in his footsteps, in his ways, as we understand that he is our leader and we are his disciples, we become more like Jesus with each passing day. The image of Christ is developed and grows within us as we look deeply into our faith. We're offered the opportunity with each day, each decision, each relationship to practice Christ's perfect love. That means we are to grow in our faith each day and to live into the promise that God provided to all humankind so long ago in a humble manger in Bethlehem. And day by day, transformed into better versions of ourselves, made more into image. We have an opportunity tonight, you and me. Stand that we are symbols of the Christian faith to someone. Perhaps it's to someone who has never heard of Jesus. Perhaps it's to your children or your grandchildren who are learning how to be followers of Jesus through your example. Perhaps it's a friend or a coworker who needs examples of love and grace instead of judgment and isolation. Tonight, we are being given a very special gift. That gift is the opportunity to make a better version of yourself, more aligned with the image of Jesus. We're being woven, you and me, day by day. We are living into this becoming of something more than what we are today. Something more loving. Something more holy. And day by day, we become together a beautiful tapestry that reflects God's love for us all. And as we join our lives together in our faith, we take on a new form. Together, not merely alone. And as we intertwine our lives in faith through our understanding of God's love through Jesus Christ, we, as his church, become a symbol of God's kingdom on earth as in heaven. Through the incarnation of God in Jesus Christ that we all celebrate tonight, we acknowledge that we are all connected with God and tied together tightly to each other. In love, now and forever. Tonight for us, a child is born. Thanks be to God.
We all have a place, a part in God's story, each and every one of us. Are a part of God's story. The story didn't end. The story continues. And we are symbols of the faith that is inside of us. But we are not alone. We are not alone. We go on this journey together. And so we have an opportunity tonight to practice what that looks like and what that might mean. And so on each one of the tables and chairs, there's a strip of linen. And I invite you to look around. Pick up a piece of linen and look around at who you are sitting with. Look around at who is next to you, who's in front of you, who's behind you. They're on the journey too. You are connected to each other. I'm going to ask you, as your tables and your rows and chairs, to pick up a piece of linen and connect it with somebody who's sitting next to you, but not just tie it together. As you're tying and making these connections, I want you to pray for that person. I want you to pray for their journey, for their faith. Do that with me now. As your groups have their cloth tied together, I invite you to bring it up. Maybe one of you wants to bring it up. Maybe the whole group of you wants to bring it up. And I invite you to lay it in the manger. You are an offering. Your life is an offering. You are a symbol of your faith. And so I invite you to journey up here and lay your cloth as we lay it in the manger. God, we're so grateful for the connections that you have made. We're so grateful for the fact that we are not on this journey alone. We are so grateful and thank you so much, Lord Jesus, that we are a symbol of faith, that we are a part of your story, that we don't walk alone, that you are with us, Lord, and that you have put people in our lives to love and care for us, that we together can be transformed, that we can learn from each other. Praise God for all that you have given us. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for an opportunity to see our connections to one another. Thank you. Lord, we love you. Blessed be your name. Thank you for coming. Thank you for breaking into this world. Can you put it in here? Thank you so much. Thank you.